In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Betches Media presents.
A lot of them aren't even pretending to be in charge.
Slow the testing down.
Remove him from office.
No justice, no peace.
Cast a vote that will make you proud.
The Betches Sup Podcast.
Will you shut up, man?
Listen.
Hello, and welcome to the Betches Sup Podcast. I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elias Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaras.
And the Betches Sup Podcast is your daily rundown of all the craziest shit going on in the news, brought to you by your three funniest friends.
Which is us?
Wah! Woohoo! It is us. Elise, yesterday we were commenting when we did the intro that there's a reviewer that comes like once a month to say that he only thinks you're funny in the iTunes.
Oh, Elise is
that's me. Yeah. That is me.
That's what they said yesterday. It's like every month it's like
very
they have an alarm.
Obviously me.
They want to make sure.
Has he given me a chance?
I don't actually think so.
Okay.
I don't think
well,
he has.
Then it is
you know what?
Least...
I would, much like Donald Trump, I would never denounce my fans for any reason or based on any amount of behavior. So
yeah,
I have nothing
I have been working on some new intros, but they all sound very silly. I'm really stuck on this idea where I want to say this is the podcast where we help you close your tabs and open your mind. But I think we're pretty set in our ways. So that's just inviting people to say... They're set in their ways.
Now, Amanda, because I've been working on some projects with some Gen Z folks.
Yeah.
And I feel like what I get roasted about, I feel like, is it a millennial thing to keep 50 tabs open on each browser? Because I feel like it is.
It is.
I'm not going to change.
No.
I'm set in my ways. But I do get roasted every time. And like... There's this one girl that I work with, and every time there's like a meme on not closing tabs, she tags me in it, and I'm like, I get it.
Really?
It's like to the people who have 80 tabs, just learn to let it go or something like that.
That's like tagging. That's a general. It would never occur to me to tag somebody in that meme because that's a generalized meme. I didn't know that was a millennial thing, but that makes me even more attached to this phrasing.
Yeah.
Mine is such a, like, my tab situation is so, because it's also, I will open the same one in other things. So I just have like so many windows.
Yes.
Some of the tabs are together, some are not. It's really, it is a mess.
Well, it's a mess.
Also, you know, I don't know about you, but I'm a two monitor bitch. Okay. I do have a second monitor and sometimes I'm working off a dock, but I don't want to scroll down.
No.
I want to see the dock on one screen and then see the bottom of it on the other and continue to work. So
yeah, exactly. You never want to toggle to and fro. That's a bitch.
Yeah.
And then because that's where I'm at. And then I get way too involved in all my other half read tabs. So, okay. It sounds like we will explore this framing of the podcast.
Welcome to the Betches Podcast, sponsored by Google Chrome. Keep those tabs open.
You there, Google? We would love to promote gathering tabs options. Let the people know. All right. So keep an ear out for that new intro. But for now, today we're going to sort of check in on why this president is still in office, explore what's happening there as we do every day, and then just look at some other aftershocks going on after the mayhem we saw on Wednesday. So House lawmakers today will vote on a resolution calling for Vice President Pence to invoke the 25th Amendment against President Trump. This is something of a warning shot for Mike Pence, and lawmakers have vowed to move forward with impeachment if Pence doesn't do this in a day. They are probably going to vote on impeachment tomorrow. Mike Pence apparently visited Donald Trump in the Oval Office yesterday, and they reconciled, which is fucking crazy.
That's it. What could Donald Trump have possibly said? First of all, Donald Trump had not called Pence once since the mob threatened to hang him.
Hang him. Mm-hmm.
Like, it's crazy to me. It really makes me feel like Mike Pence is a psychopath on a level that I didn't understand, because if someone sent an angry mob to kill me, I don't care about the political stuff, if I want to run for president in 2024, like the fact that that could even be in your mind to be like, well, I have to think about the political implications. I would be in a blind rage and I would be like, this fucking guy tried to send a mob to kill me.
Like,
it feels unhuman to me.
I don't know if it's like psychopath or it's just like really weak, like a refusal to stand up for yourself or refusal to like see what's going on or refusal to care about yourself enough to, like, it's just
like a self-esteem.
It's a self-esteem problem.
You can read some Brene Brown. Right? Really daring, greatly dare to lead.
It's
crazy.
It's like everyone knew the Titanic was gonna hit an iceberg, and there were more than enough lifeboats, but these people will not get on the lifeboat. They won't. Trump is a sinking ship. The whole family's a sinking ship. Let it go.
Absolutely.
But nobody's like, or not enough people are letting it go. So it's just like, it's so sad. I don't know.
Yeah, nobody who can have an impact. I was reading yesterday that as we're getting some distance from Wednesday, it's just, I know to me personally, getting even more disturbing to watch the clips of what happened. Like really sickening. It's been a weird week, but I was reading that as they were in there, they had already entered the Capitol building and Pence was already locked down. In that time at 2:24 p.m., Donald Trump tweeted that Mike Pence had betrayed him while they were in the fucking building. There's no other way to square this. I mean, when Trump is charged with something, I mean, I was asking my fiance, who's a lawyer, but whenever I ask him a question, he's like, he's not mean to me, but he acts like it was the dumbest question ever. He's just like, well, he won't answer a question. He answers six different questions all around it. But the point is, I was like,
Seems like he's a good lawyer.
I got some shit pending.
I know. I'm always like, you would be the worst podcast guest because I ask you a question and you won't answer it. But I asked, it's like the fact that he's not showing any remorse continually. It's been a week and every chance this man has to show remorse and say, I'm sorry this happened. I didn't mean to incite the violence or just anything. This has to count against him in future ways that we hold him accountable.
A la Mia Ponsetto.
Yes.
No remorse.
No remorse. He might as well have worn a daddy hat, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He doesn't feel remorse. Like, I don't know. It's just so crazy. Like, the more details that I read about it, I know y'all probably talked about, but like even the day after, you don't even get the impact. Cause like during, I was like, oh shit, this is crazy.
Let's talk about it.
Then we're watching, I'm like watching like the maps and that one video of that black cop who like steered everyone away. Like it could have been so, like the first thing I thought was, where's AOC? Like, where's the squad? Then, you know, but it was really bad. And that's the thing that gets me. It's like, it's not just Pence. Like, these people still voted to overturn the election after they were in lockdown for two, like,
they were mopping blood from the ground. Right. As it was happening, and Wednesday was such a long day that I think we were processing it, and just once it seemed to come to an end, I think for a couple days, we sort of sat in the relief that it wasn't worse and sort of sat in that, like, oh, it could have been so much worse. Thank God not everyone's okay. Five lives were lost. And now, like you said, seeing the videos, I mean, every network keeps showing the video of a rioter or a terrorist just smashing an officer to the ground with an American flagpole. And that I makes me sick to my stomach every time I see it. And that stuff is just re-watching that with the distance of it. I'm sure our listeners agree. It's just so, I can't believe this happened. It just gets worse and worse every day away because we're out of the adrenaline of like, oh my God, okay, thank God dozens or hundreds of lawmakers didn't die like they did in the fucking Handmaid's Tale.
Yeah.
But it was still so, so bad.
I was talking about it in therapy yesterday. As I was watching it, I know other people had this feeling where I was like, am I about to see someone die on TV? Like, how far is this going to go? And then the realization slowly over these past couple of days of, number one, just how far into the Capitol they got, how much damage was done. Like, the Capitol is a maze. It's very crazy that they were able to get into lawmakers' offices and stuff. They got into Jim Clyburn's office and fucked with it, even though his office is not, like, labeled. So there's a lot of weird stuff going on with just how deep they got into the Capitol, all of that. And just this realization that, like, it, the only reason it wasn't worse is just honestly because the response was so inept almost that, like, the number one, that we were able to get these lawmakers out just in the nick of time. And then number two, I just feel like because the crowd was able to disperse, we didn't see like a full on clash between like the National Guard and this mob, but we almost saw that on TV. We almost saw them take literal hostages of our lawmakers on TV. We almost saw them get into an armed conflict in the middle of the Capitol with the National Guard. Like, all of that could have happened very easily.
And it's crazy because, like, the lawmakers, you know, got away, some of them, but a lot of their staff didn't. And hearing about, I watched parts of the 60 Minutes with Nancy Pelosi, like, and seeing that her staff was locked in her office, like, they got to her office, but they, like, barricaded, and they were, like, under the table for 2 hours with them banging, like, that is 100%. Like, that's so terrifying.
They didn't know if they were going to make it out. Like, we know that they did, but imagine that whole time. They didn't know. And they're doing their jobs. Like, the lawmakers are literally having to call state governors saying, this is serious. Like, there's blood on the ground.
Didn't call them. The president didn't even fucking call his vice president. He didn't make a statement. Like, it's, we have to take a second to step back and think about how crazy it is that went down and the president was MIA at best,
yeah,
actively involved in inflaming it at his worst. And he did not even make contact with these lawmakers. And as far as we know, he has never extended a personal condolence to a single person who was involved in a terrorist attack on the Capitol.
And yeah, and like, he doesn't feel bad about it.
He doesn't feel bad about it.
He's releasing letters that's like, everyone is talking about me. And it's like, babe, no one is. What are you talking about?
Nobody's talking about you, Melania.
No one was even thinking about you.
She used a part from her RNC speech. She just recycled it to say, like, everybody should just come together.
That's what happens when your fucking PR person resigns and your best friend writes a tell-all book and all this, whatever.
Oh, bloop. But, like, also, I just can't get over, like, that they're asking, okay, whatever, it happened, and, like, we're very lucky it didn't get worse, but these people are, like, move on. I mean, really, like, this has, this virus, this year, I mean, you know, has really showed me how fucking terrible, how much a life doesn't matter to these people. Like, how much did we politicize 9/11? When, you know, 9/11, like, it's like, never forget, and they made this whole thing to have this war. We have a 9/11 every day of people dying, but yeah, because it's mostly Black and brown people, who gives a fuck, right? Then it's like, oh, terrorists. We have actual terrorists. We've had terrorists this whole time with abortion clinics, but that's a whole other thing. But those are, like, actual things that they're not researching. But we have actual terrorists who are doing threats, and it's just like, these people don't care. And it's like, not even that they're like, oh, move on, like, immediately after. It's like, what is wrong with you people?
And it's also that there's a key component to moving on is that accountability happens, mm-hmm, and mm-hmm, then everybody can move on. Like, they're mm-hmm saying, oh, you need to have unity with all of these Republicans, or you need to forgive us. And it's like, I can't, or not even, no, but it's like, I can't forgive someone who hasn't apologized, yeah, for anything.
We need to unite and move forward, can't believe I'm saying this, with those Republicans in holding these people accountable. And mm-hmm then we can all move forward in unity like Joe Biden wants.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. It we can't do it at the expense of accountability, because that is a part of moving forward. We can never move forward, yeah, if we don't do this. And that's literally what we see play out in American history over and over and over again, is we try to just be like, okay, we're moving forward from this atrocity now. And then we don't deal with it. And then it just piles up and piles up and piles up. And we're still dealing with the repercussions of every single thing that we've never dealt with before.
I saw a tweet that said it was post-Civil War unity that gave us Jim Crow, because we never, it has to be the accountability that unites us. And it's
right. There's a reason we have Nuremberg trials.
If anything is going to unite us moving forward, This morning I realized Rep. Paul Gosar, who was the Arizona rep, who basically led the whole objection. The first state they objected to was Arizona. So he started all this. And he in January, remember, or in February, remember when Nancy Pelosi ripped up the State of the Union? Yeah. He called for her censure then. I don't hear him calling for anyone to be censured as a result of what happened.
No,
but ripping up a piece of paper is fine.
Hey, American Fever Dream listeners, I'm here to tell you that there is no reason to panic the next time you're searching for the perfect gift, because now you can use Gift Mode on Etsy. Gift Mode on Etsy is here to take the stress out of gifting so you can find the perfect item for anyone for any occasion. And it's easy. You just tap or click Gift Mode in your Etsy app or Etsy.com, and then answer a few questions about who you're shopping for and what they like. And Gift Mode instantly gives you a curated gift idea list based on hundreds of personas. Now it is simple to find gifts made by independent sellers for all the people in your life. So whether you need a Mother's Day gift for the quilter or a birthday present for the vintage hunter, there is something for everyone on Etsy. Some of my favorite things to do are go to Etsy Gift Mode and then search absurd things like, what kind of gifts do you have with Walter Cronkite on them? What kind of gifts do you have for dachshund owners? There's jewelry, ceramic, toys, board games, all kinds of fun stuff. A gifting moment is always right around the corner, whether it's a birthday, an anniversary, a holiday, or even just a day to say thank you. Gift Mode on Etsy has you covered. Need to find the perfect gift? Don't panic. Try Gift Mode on Etsy now.
Today's episode of American Fever Dream is brought to you by Nuuly. Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. It's Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. Free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription rental service, and for just $98 a month, you get your choice of any six styles. They also have inclusive sizing up to 5X, as well as petite and maternity. You get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. This is the best. You just put it back in your box, send it out, and before you know it, you've got your next one. And you always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. I bought the Rachel Antonoff pasta puffer from them. I was obsessed with it, like everybody who tries it is, and it was completely sold out everywhere else. So I felt like I really, really had an in there. So thank you, Nuuly. Nuuly is an amazing value at $98 a month for any six styles. And right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up with the code FEVERDREAM20. Just go to NUULY.com. That's Nuuly with two U's, and enter the code FEVERDREAM20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with two U's with code FEVERDREAM20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
So today, as we wait for Congress to decide whether inciting a deadly violent coup to overthrow our government is enough to remove a president, we're going to dive into some other aftershocks from Wednesday's insurrection. At least two Democratic lawmakers have tested positive for COVID-19 after sheltering in place with hundreds of people, lawmakers, staff. Representative Pralil Jayapal of Washington and Representative Bonnie Watson-Coleman of New Jersey, they both tested positive. Watson-Coleman is 75 years old, and she is receiving antibody treatments as a precaution. Jayapal told The Cut she'd already been quarantining after the insurrection. She suspected that she was exposed after Republican lawmakers refused to wear masks while forced to even tighter quarters than normal. They should be wearing masks on the House floor, but that apparently was not a requirement. And a video circulating shows a number of GOP members, including QAnon supporter Marjorie Taylor Greene, who we are now going to call Typhoid Marjorie, refusing to accept masks from another member and mocking her for handing them out. Did you guys see that video?
I did not. I'm trying to kind of create a blank space where Marjorie Taylor Greene should be in my mind. I'm trying to just, I don't know if you remember the episode of Black Mirror where you can block a person.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to kind of get that going with Marjorie Taylor Greene. I can't.
Well, the thing about Jayapal is that she received the first dosage of Moderna, I think it's Moderna. And yeah, she already received the first dosage, but you know, she's not protected. And the reason, and it's crazy to think that like they all got the vaccine because of this part in law, you know, AOC explained, where it's like, yeah, we need contingency plans. Like everybody who like is in Congress, like needs to get it so that we don't become a lawless state when like we were so close to losing so many people. But yeah, that's what she was saying, was that she got the first dosage and it doesn't protect you. You know, she hasn't gotten the second dose. Had they got the second dosage already, maybe it wouldn't, you know, but
it wouldn't be.
And then Bonnie from New Jersey, she's a cancer survivor.
Oh wow.
Like, you know, and this is
Jesus Christ.
Exactly. Like, this is crazy. It's like these people and like Republicans.
I know they won't, but if you give a cancer survivor COVID because you were refusing to wear a mask,
yeah,
take a minute with yourself, man. Really, really, really.
But that's what they're all doing now anyway. You know, they don't fucking care. It's just crazy.
They don't care about people living or dying. There's nothing anyone can say to convince me that they do. Nothing.
They don't until, like, until it affects them personally.
Unless you're Mike Pence. I mean, they were all almost killed.
Yeah, they were that's all true. Almost
I mean,
killed.
That's what's so crazy to me is I'm just like, how personally does it have to affect you? They were yelling, hang Mike Pence. Like, all of them had to quarantine, like, had to be sequestered away. They're probably, even the bad ones are traumatized by it to some degree. So I just don't understand it. Like, it feels like it already has affected them personally. I would be affected personally if it had happened to me.
it's their political ambitions that are making them not demand accountability. But it's like, okay, if you want to be in politics for a long time, maybe you want to hold the people that attack the buildings you work in accountable so they don't try it over and over again. What is this? These are the people that pass hundreds of billions of dollars in defense budgets to keep us safe from threats abroad. And you're going to let all of those people and all of the people that hate us and want to harm us see no accountability for the people that incited a violent mob against our Capitol. It doesn't, I mean, you could exhaust yourself for days pointing out all the parts of it that are hypocritical.
It just feels inhuman to me. Like it just feels like, I know that I shouldn't be surprised that politicians or these, and particularly these politicians, put the future of their party and the future of their political ambitions above everything else. I know that we've seen that play out many, many times for a long time, but it still shocks me that you could be the victim of a terror attack and be a target of a terror attack. And it's like, it's only giving you a little bit of pause. You're like, huh, that was close.
Yeah, like, have a bad day.
And like, yeah, I guess I just really struggle with trying to understand, because I'm like, what is their goal? Tax breaks? Like, I mean, they want all people, like people of color, to be gone, and then like, except the ones that vote for them, kind of. Like, I just am just like, you know, it's just really hard for me to wrap my head around. Like, they're willing to risk their lives because they feel strongly about small government or tax cuts or whatever. It's just like, makes no sense to me.
I think it's just the cult at this point. Like, they believe in the thing that they believe in. It's not any rational reason, because clearly Trump is on his way to being isolated from the top of the party. We'll see. Whatever political future he has, whether it is connected to the Republican establishment proper or not, I mean, there's nothing good about what happened, but I personally have been satisfied seeing the Trump organization and family get everything they've always deserved this whole time. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I can't believe it took the worst thing that's probably ever happened. Mm-hmm. But I'm glad this is the stain. And at the same time, it's like, I'm not going to remember that Betsy DeVos resigned. That's going to be a footnote. All of these people that stuck with them until the end should be historically regarded that way.
She resigned because she didn't want her fucking
25th. Yeah.
25th. She's an asshole. Fuck Betsy DeVos.
I know.
Saying it again. Saying it again. Fuck Betsy. Her, like, fucking whole, first of all, don't even get me started on this bitch, because she owns the biggest student loan financing company, and that's why every time she has a fucking statement for the people that still work in the Department of Education, she's like, do not cancel student loans, do not cancel student loans, because her company would not make as much money, even though she has yachts in Michigan, which, if I had a yacht, it wouldn't be in fucking Michigan. But whatever, right? That's just me.
Poor judgment, Betsy DeVos.
Yeah, I know. Why the fuck? Anyway, Yeah. I'm sure it's a fun lake. If anybody has a lake house in Michigan, gladly take you up on it. I'm just saying, if I had a yacht, maybe some island in Greece or something. Maybe not.
Maybe.
But
we're going to get more angry comments from like people that like to use their boats on Lake Michigan than we do for saying defund the police.
Well, listen, I'm not saying boats
on Michigan. Boat is different.
Boat is true.
True.
A boat is different. Boats, anybody can have a boat. If you're talking about like multi-million-dollar yacht with like multiple floors.
Yeah.
Go to Greece. Come on.
Greece. Get out of this country.
I'm not going to be landlocked on a yacht.
Exactly.
You know what I mean? Like,
especially if I'm Betsy DeVos and probably committed crimes, I'm going to want to be in international waters.
Exactly. I want to be able to take the yacht and go. Just
the Bahamas,
go.
The
pollute the ocean, just go.
Yeah, just be somewhere, dog. Not fucking Michigan.
You do you, Betsy. You do you.
No, fuck her. Don't you do you. Do you in hell, bitch.
I hate her so much. I hate her so much.
Do you in hell, bitch. People are like, what is this episode about?
And it all goes back to, and you know what? Best thing, yes, Trump got deplatformed from Pinterest. Which
that is
honestly,
really funny.
Honestly, you know, I'm on the wedding shaming Facebook page, and there has to be. There has to be a MAGA wedding board at least.
Oh, there
gotta
has
be.
To be.
It's got to be hidden. Is it hidden now, though?
We'll see. Well, I don't know. See? That's a good point. But there's
near
the camel wedding, because there's a lot of camouflage weddings. There's a lot, yes, a lot of John Deere weddings. There has to be MAGA weddings. And you know what? Mute them all, bitch. Fuck you.
Mute
Betsy DeVos wedding.
We're also learning more about some of the terrorists arrested after last week's insurrection. So a gentleman named Jacob Chansley, who goes by Jake Angeli, you'd recognize him as the man who wore horns, a fur headdress, and painted his body red, white, and blue. He turned himself in Arizona and made his first court appearance for charges related to storming the U.S. Capitol. There, his mother said that he hadn't eaten since being detained because the detention facility will not feed him all organic food. His mother claimed that anything else makes him violently ill, but also because he needs a shaman's diet. So it's unclear whether he just physiologically can't eat or anything else, or if he would not have his shamanistic powers were he to eat, you know, non-organic bananas or whatever. This is not where this story ends,
no,
distinguished listeners.
Unfortunately, because that would be a happy ending.
The judge in the case responded that the domestic terrorist's lack of nutritious food was deeply concerning, and ordered Chansley's public defender to work with the U.S. Marshal's office on the dietary concerns so that they were indeed in line with the shaman's diet that Chansley maintains. It sounds like that thinking is in line with ensuring that detained people have kosher meals or halal meals or...
About to be a lot of shamans that are incarcerated. About to be a lot of incarcerated shamans.
I mean, also, it's like, you know, all the guys that like get to prison with their swastika tattoos and are like, I want the kosher meal. It's like that. Yeah.
Well, also, too, I'm just like, okay, kosher, there's like specific rules and ways to prepare. Halal, too. First of all, like, I mean, I know we don't need to go down this hole.
We might need to.
But organic food's a fucking scam. Like, most of it, like, some shit, yeah, but like, first of all, people lie. Like, there's a whole not conspiracy. It's not a conspiracy. It's actually like a lot of companies mislabel to charge more, like for organic products. Organic means like no pesticides and stuff. Which, like, if you're eating an apple, something that you eat the skin of the fruit or something, then like, you should probably, or like, it makes more sense to get organic. But organic, like bananas or oranges, like, doesn't really make a difference because there's a protective layer with the actual thing that you're eating.
Yeah.
We gotta get Millie in this courtroom. Diet is not real.
Liar. He could eat an orange.
You could eat an orange, bitch. And also, I'm just like, what shaman is that? Like, you can culturally appropriate something that says you have to eat at Whole Foods. Like, what?
And also, like, he's not a real shaman. He's not an actual religious figure. He's nicknamed the QAnon shaman, and he wears a costume. Like, we don't have to pretend I'm all for people who are incarcerated receiving nutritious and healthy meals, but like
that doesn't mean you can have a nutritious and healthy meal that's not full organic.
Also, he's doing this to be an asshole and to be like,
oh, totally.
And because he can't.
I'm the QAnon shaman, blah, blah, blah. Like, what is the, like, this isn't a real religious belief that he has or like, you know, it's not the same as like if you were forcing a Jewish inmate to not eat kosher or if you were forcing like someone who was Muslim to eat like non-halal food. This is a man who made up a thing that he is.
Also, don't shamans... Is their role not to rid the world of evil spirits and exactly. to promote healing? Yeah, I don't really exactly. see.
He's not a shaman. I would like to see right. a single other shaman recognize him as a part of their collective because I don't think that he's really a shaman.
I'm with you there.
Wow. We're debunking shit left and right on the Betches Sup podcast.
Yeah, exactly.
Debunking organic foods, Betsy DeVos is like Michigan.
Right, going there. It's like, okay. Okay, QAnon Shaman, you can have organic spinach. That's fine. But just eat the banana.
Eat the banana. Organic the banana. Spinach in jail. Do you know, again, like I said, I've had multiple siblings in jail. The shit that they eat, like, first of all, they mostly get commissary, like, because the cafeteria food's so bad. But one time my brother came back from jail and we had like a day where we just made all the snack recreated all the snacks that he ate in jail.
Oh my god.
And like it was fun because if you grind up Oreo cookies and put a little water of them and put it in the microwave, somehow the consistency is like cake.
And it's vegan. Somebody should tell QAnon Shaman.
Oh my god, wait, Oreos are vegan. The shaman can eat this cake.
He's gonna need a lot of recipes, and so will the perpetrator of this.
But
next
he's not
crime.
On Pinterest anymore.
Hey,
he's not pinning recipes.
Not pinning anymore.
Not pin, you know what? No more Pinterest and no more tabs, honey. You are no longer a millennial. Yeah,
worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
So U.S. wildlife authorities have launched an investigation after a manatee was discovered in Florida's Homosassa River with the word Trump scraped on its back. I was going to give a trigger warning before this story, but I was delighted to read that the manatee does not appear to be seriously injured or injured gravely at all. The word was scraped into the algae growing on its skin. Super fucked up and sinister. Yeah. But the reason I hadn't talked about the story yet was because when I hear about these things, it ruins my day. But the manatee seems fine, but it's still, manatees are protected under U.S. law, and anyone who fucks with them faces a year in prison and a $50,000 fine. It's pretty scraped in there, so it seemed pretty uncomfortable for the manatee. I just wanted people to know it's fine. This is one of the most sinister things I've ever seen.
I just feel like it's known, like, you're not supposed to fuck with a manatee. They're the nicest. It's like the most monstrous thing you could do is like mess with manatees.
Yeah, they're the sea cows. They're so cute. So I shared when we were talking about this in our text thread, these campaigns that they used to have of Mumfrey, Mindy, and Max, the three, you know, there's this campaign because people would have boats and the like fans, yeah. They would go to see the manatee and get close and the fans would hit the manatees. So they created this whole campaign and we would watch it like multiple times, every commercial, every day, you know, after school would play this commercial of like, say hi to us from far away because you can hurt us. So it's like manatees are very special and it's so, and it's also like, who is this for? Like, who's scuba diving is going to see a Trump sign on a manatee's back and be like, you're right, I'm not going to vote for Joe Biden.
Betsy DeVos when she's yachting on the Homosassa River.
As Maybe it feels like as a child of the 90s, like manatees were sort of this ever-present
thing. Pointed. Like, it feels part of it.
Very like manatees when we were kids, I feel, and in particularly in Florida for you, Millie, were like this animal that it was like boats hit them and it's really bad. And like, I had an uncle who would always like adopt a manatee for me. And when you would go to the aquarium, they'd be like, the manatees are the nicest animal in the entire world. They're so sweet. And we keep hitting them with our boats. And so it just seems particularly egregious to try to put a political slogan on a manatee.
Right. Just put put a MAGA shirt on your dog. Was that not enough?
Whatever. Dogs like to wear little hats and whatnot.
It's adorable. It's adorable.
That's
fine. It's an ongoing thing about how animal lovers can also be MAGA Republicans. I think about it a lot. I don't know how it works, but that's for another podcast.
Yeah. Well, there's a whole, we need a whole podcast on debunking like Black MAGA, Latino MAGA.
Yes. Dog rescuing MAGA.
Dog rescuer.
We just honestly need to. But another thing that this brings up for me, which is something that I noticed, like, it's just, and I feel like it might be recent, of like standing politicians to like, you know, mm-hmm. like they're the Beatles or something, you know, yeah. and like the merch and the stuff. It's like, this is ridiculous. And then I also, because there's this shirt that I really like, that I almost bought it like three different times, but it's this shirt that's AOC, but it's like a heavy metal with like heavy metal, mm-hmm. like 80s imagery, and it looks really cool, but it's AOC. And then, you know, in seeing this Trump, like I can look at Trump shit and be like, that's so corny or that's so whatever. And yeah, there's a difference between like a shirt and or a little poster and scraping MAGA, or you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't
spectrum.
Know. So, yeah.
But no, I think hero worship overall is, I also don't love it. And stan culture, I think stan culture is fine, but I also agree when you, all politicians are fallible. And it's just, mm-hmm. when you get to a point where people are scrawling a politician's name into a manatee, I think everybody's got to take a look at what's going on.
We need to take the temperature down.
Yeah, I think.
Step back, Doug.
I know, you gotta leave them alone. You're not supposed to. You gotta. We have to leave these manatees alone.
Like sometimes.
Title of this episode.
Yeah, leave the manatees alone and go to hell. Starting with you, Betsy DeVos.
She did it.
Yeah, she did it. She did everything.
For our last terrorism or non-terrorism related story, one of the global community's most pressing threats has been neutralized, Cuban terrorism. Elise, do you want to tell us about this nonsense story that Mike Pompeo is responsible for?
So yesterday, Secretary of State Mike Pompeo announced that the U.S. will designate Cuba as a state sponsor of terrorism because they're hosting, I guess there are like these 10 Colombian rebels that they're hosting, and a number of American fugitives, as well as their support for Venezuelan leader Nicolas Maduro. This will basically constrain Biden's ability to normalize relations with Cuba once he gets into office, which is something that he was probably going to do pretty swiftly. I mean, I don't think it's like number one on the agenda, but under the Obama administration, they had reopened relations with Cuba. Things were getting better. The quality of life for the people on the island was improving. And also, they were starting businesses and making their own money and all of this stuff that we supposedly want to bring them capitalism to make them do. All of these things were happening, and then Trump shut it back down and they no longer had those sources of income, and it made things very complicated and ultimately drove people back into the arms of this government that we supposedly don't want them to want. So none of it makes any sense. But basically, because he's done this, now it's basically going to take like 6 months or so for Biden to like have to undo the paperwork and razzle dazzle that has to happen now because he's doing this. In the meantime, it not only messes up Cuba, aka people who are already really fucking poor and aren't doing anything.
Yeah.
Like, Cuba's not doing anything. They're maybe they have these 10 Colombian guys, whatever. We fuck with China. They're communist. I don't like, they do way worse stuff.
We have a state sponsor of terrorism in our White House.
For real.
Yeah. Like literally it's just crazy that we focus this much punitive energy on Cuba. I'm not even saying that like the government there is great and like are good. I'm just saying it's crazy that we focus this amount of energy on them when we fuck with so many other people who do so much worse and are communist. So it makes no sense.
Who is this
for? Humans in Miami, because Mike Pompeo wants to run for president in 2024. So now he wants to throw Cubans in Miami this bone on his way out the door so that he can run and be like, look, Biden reversed this and I did this. But it's like, it's such a cynical and shitty thing to do. And it's actually like, real talk, it's a very cruel thing to do, because it's for his own political purposes, for really no reason, because he knows that the policy is going to get reversed. It's basically him just putting a couple roadblocks in it. He's making the lives of these people on this very poor island materially worse for no reason. This does not further an agenda or a policy goal of the U.S. government in any way. This doesn't put Cuba or the Castro regime any closer to not being in power. All it does is fuck up Cuban people who have it hard enough already and are also dealing with a pandemic, even though they have better doctors than us. They have better health insurance than us, so they're doing better. It's actual real cruelty, and it fucking sucks. And it's also just stupid and pointless and does nothing. And it's so emblematic of the Trump administration's policies towards people who come from like small countries, especially obviously like Latinos, but people around the world. It's like everyone's just pawns. I mean, you look at how they treated fucking Puerto Rico. They look down on any Spanish-speaking country, any brown people, anybody that they can, like, mess around with, and they don't care. And people in Cuba will be harmed because of this.
And they'll still vote for them. That's the thing. That's the thing that depresses me. Not just Cuban people anymore. Latinx people in general, considering how they treat Latinx people all around, it's like... It's another thing that like really messes with my mind of like, how can you, you know, support people who hate you like this much, who don't care about your community? And it's tough because, I realize that different people have different relations with with Cuba or their island or how they view things or how they feel like things have to change. But it's pretty depressing to me. And then also too, I'm just like, guys, we do have an actual big crisis happening like in our country right now that we really should be paying attention to. All this other like creating roadblocks and shit, like we need like to get the vaccine out there, and we need to, you know, it's just like, what are we doing?
Secretary of State on his way out the door when we're dealing with what we're dealing with is focused on his own 2024 political ambitions is fucking gross.
Mike Pompeo is less charismatic than Kelly Loeffler. He's not going to win anything.
Your plan to lose the presidency in 2024 is more important than the fact that he should be sitting by his phone waiting for Mike Pence to call him and be like, hey, we need to invoke the 25th Amendment. That's what he should be focused on right now. Answering Mike Pence's call.
You should be waiting by the phone.
Absolutely.
Just terrible. And like, and the whole thing is the cruelty is the point with these people.
Yeah.
Like, and I really hope we just don't forget, like, we forgot the kids in cages. You know what I mean? Like, we just can't let them forget. You know, we can't move on of any of this shit anymore. Like, and I'm hoping, like, it just feels different. Like, towards the end of the Trump presidency, like, more and more people are seeing consequences. And we're seeing big campaigns and big brands, like, pull out of these camp things. But I really need, you know, for my sake of morality, I need to see more consequences for these people. Because this shit is so cruel and disgusting, and so many people are dying because of their negligence and cowardice, and it's just depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, consequences and accountability are the only thing that keep it from happening again or from escalating, because everything that in the Trump administration, it's like everything get, there's a crazy thing every day, but it's all been, I think about this a lot, it's always been an escalation. Everything mm-hmm. is crazier than the thing before. So mm-hmm. people that think it'll ever get better unless we hold him accountable and stop it now are wrong. It's only yeah. escalated. There's no reason to believe that it would ever simmer down and stay at a simmer. It has to be annihilated now. Mm-hmm. I sound really hawkish, but just, we got to stop it. Annihilate them. great show, guys. Until the return of democracy, I'm Amanda Duberman.
I'm Elise Morales.
And I'm Millie Tamaris.
And this is the Betches Up Podcast.
The Betches Up Podcast is produced by Amanda Duberman, Jorge Morales Pico, and Sean Kilby. Social media by Amanda Duberman. Artwork by Brittany Levine. Our podcast director is Sean Kilby. Be sure to follow us at Betches_Sup on Instagram, Twitter, and TikTok. And send your emails to suppod@betches.com.
Betches.